This audio presentation is a teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled Consecration Part 2, Pastor Scott talks about the last two reasons why we should consecrate ourselves to the Lord. This message was recorded on Sunday, November 8th, 2015. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Go ahead, ushers. I am so grateful to be living here in this island. You know, we went fishing, and when you go fishing, you got a lot of time to talk. And I was thinking, man, if we were someplace in like maybe India, I think we would probably be fishing in a dirty, polluted river, there would be no mempachi, no aholehole, no papillos, but probably some catfish or something that I don't think I would want to eat anyway. And I thought, oh, we are so blessed to be in this place, you know, in Hawaii. And every time I get to think about that, and I think like, wow, thank you, God, for choosing and allowing me to live in such a wonderful place where the nicest people in the world live. Amen? Whew. Well, we're going to continue talking about consecration. And last week, we got to learn that we set ourselves apart so that we can walk in the way that the Lord wants us. And we set ourselves apart so that we, spiritually, we get to grow and mature. The thing is, where are you in your walk with the Lord? Is your life set apart for God to use? Are you one of those who would willingly raise your hand and said, you know what, God, use me? If you ever said that to the Lord, I applaud you. Because if you said that and you meant that, God will use you. I did that years ago and there's no regrets. If we had a measuring instrument, something that could measure your spiritual growth, what would it show? Would it show an increase? Would it show like you're at the same place? I don't think, because when you hit a certain spiritual, when you're growing, I don't really think you can like forget or decrease, but I always think you can increase or you can plateau. And you know, when we were growing up, how many of you had that wall where you stood and they marked, you know, the date and how much you grew? I hated that. Every year was the same place. It wasn't. Well, the only thing went up was the scale. It's like, shoot. And then, you know, if I still had that mark on the wall, I probably got shorter. And you know, when you hit 50, it's like, is everybody getting taller? Or am I getting shorter? Because now all the young kids, I look up to them now. And it's like, so if we could measure our spiritual growth, would they be progress? If we could do that spiritually, to mark our progress each year, each quarter, what would it show? Each year, about this time of the year, They send us pastors, they send us a license renewal form, and it usually has a place where you can say, what have you done this year? Have you gone to any conferences? Have you read any books? And, you know, this year was like, I think, the best year, because this year I think I read like, Not including the Bible, which you do every day, but I think I read like 5 books this year, and that's like a record for me. I never read 5 books throughout kindergarten to 12th grade. You laugh, but I'm serious. I would read the front page, a little bit inside the cover, and then the back page, and then I would do a book report. Or I would pick a book that there was a movie about, to do my stuff. And because I was never reading, so but like, you know, as I decided to set more of myself apart from God, I decided to try and read a little bit more. And the thing is, if you look at your life, is there evidence that you are growing? Not old, because there's plenty of evidence that you see that, and you know, is there evidence that you're growing spiritually, maturing in your relationship with the Lord as you set yourself apart for God's use? 2 Peter 3:17-18, he gives us this warning. He says, I am warning you ahead of time, dear friends. Be on guard so that you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. You know, Peter was warning these people ahead of time of the danger of these evil teachers, these false teachers, explaining that these guys have their tactics were set to destroy them. And being forewarned, the believers would not be carried away. If somebody warned you ahead of time of something coming up, you would be ready. You know, if they the siren went off and they said a hurricane was coming, what do? You grab all your loose objects, you hide on some people, board up their windows, they're ready. So he was warning these guys, watch out, because these guys are going to come and try teach you wrong stuff. And he concluded this letter that he had begun by urging his readers to grow, you know, to grow spiritually in the knowledge of God so that they could get to know him better. And sometimes we try to measure our spiritual growth by saying, oh, I prayed 5 times today. I went to church 2x this week. And when we try to measure our growth that way, it kind of gets frustrating because we could never do enough. But what if we measured our spiritual growth by thinking or by saying or by realizing that, am I becoming more patient in my driving? Still needs work. Am I becoming more patient in the line at the grocery store? Definitely yes. Okay. Am I becoming more patient with my spouse? It has been years since I was waiting in the driveway and I honked my horn. You ever did that, husbands? Waiting for your wife? Beep, beep, like, come on! You was getting ready 2 hours ago. I just got ready 10 minutes ago. I'm in the car waiting. And I used to honk the horn because I was like, come on, we gotta go. We're gonna be late. I hate being late. But it's been years since I did that. I don't remember the last time I did that. So you know, you can think of, am I becoming more patient? Do I love more? Not just you guys, because you guys are so easy to love. Why? Because you are lovely. I love you. You love me back. But what about the unlovely people? Can we love them more? And when we can, it shows growth. Do I have a deeper desire to get to know God more? What kind of fruit am I producing? As we reflect on this year, have we grown much? How have I matured? Why do I need to consecrate myself to God or set myself apart? Because when we do that, when we say, Lord, I want to set myself apart for your service, man, God can do more things with you. And like I said, the consecration is like the setting apart of people, things, times, places, and for sacred for God's use. You have set apart Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, it's a sacred time. Some of you will say, nothing will get in this way. Nothing will take this sacred time, because it is my time to come and fellowship, to receive encouragement from one another. Thursday mornings, 5 o'clock, I set apart that time as sacred, and I meet with some guys at Blaine's in the industrial area. And we've been doing this for 10 plus years. The only day that we're not there is Thanksgiving Day, because they're closed. So what do? We find someplace else to meet, because we set that time apart for God. This place is set apart on Sunday morning for us. It's a sacred place we come to meet. I mean, it's setting apart of people, things, times, places as sacred for God's use. Because this is because, like I said, consecration is the basis for our spiritual experience. Giving ourselves to the Lord to become a living sacrifice, as Paul says. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. A living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. You are alive. You serve God. It's a living sacrifice. So this week we continue. So why do we set ourselves apart? Number three, so God can work in us. You know, God won't force you to serve him. He won't say, you do this or else I'll send a lightning bolt down and I'll fry you. He would not do that. He loves us. Before we can go and work for God, God needs to work in us. And even though we're saved, we all have to admit that there is much work to do in us to conform our thoughts, our feelings, our decisions, and our inner body, in our being, to make us more like him. And God is omnipotent, but in his relationship with us, understand this. He is not a dictator. He respects our human will and doesn't force his work on us. He doesn't say, you come up here right now and sing. You get out there in the parking lot and direct traffic. He doesn't do that. He's not a dictator. He respects our human will. He wants and needs our consent in order to work freely in us. So when you say, yes, Lord, use me, that's your consent. Our consecration is our consent. Amen? And if you're willing to do that, if you're willing to set yourself apart for the Lord and say, yes, Lord, use me, right there, bang, action. And since God will only work in us if we allow him to do so, this explains how a person can be genuinely saved for years and sometimes they have little growth because maybe they never gave God permission. The result you see up here is years ago when I said, well, Lord, what else am I going to do? You made me. So I tell him, use me for what you want to do. I always like to ask God, bring me people so that I can talk to them and I can share with them what you did. You know, years ago I offered myself willingly to him. And I still got to do that because there are certain parts of my life that I want to do what I want to do. But I asked the Lord into my life and I asked him to use me. And he did not disappoint me, but he did use me. In Philippians 2:12-13, so then, My beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now, the Philippian church was really, really dear to Paul. And when he went away, he didn't want his absence to be a detriment to their spiritual growth. So he asked them, he requested that they always be careful to follow his instructions, even especially while he was away. And he was telling them that they need to put into action God's saving work by obeying God with just a deep reverence and fear. Not the kind of fear you think of, but the respect. And Paul was calling the entire church to work together to rid themselves of divisions and discord. And although they were saved when they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, it is the everyday life, the work of everyday life, that people would see our salvation put into action by what we did. And we got to put into action God's saving work by what? By obeying. We got to obey. We got to obey God. And he wanted us to practice that he wanted them to practice that for the health of the church. And as they did so, they would not do it on their own, but by the power of the Holy Spirit working in them. And he would give that church the desire to obey him. When they set themselves apart, doing what God wanted to do, listening to his instruction, people would see. They would understand. Like, wow. So we set ourselves apart and we give God permission when we say yes, when we set ourselves apart. That way, he can work in us. You ever tried working with somebody who never gave you permission? You know, maybe your child or maybe your friend who was distraught and they just never gave you permission to speak into their life. You know, some people from other churches, they come and they see me and say, you should go see your pastor because your pastor is your pastor and he has the authority to speak into your life, not me. But sometimes you try to instruct people, your children, your friends, and they don't want to receive instructions. As you know, 10, 12 years old people, kids, they know more than us, right? I got it. I know. You got to study hard. I know. You got to save money. I know. You got to do. I know. You got to change your oil. I know. They know everything. They do. And you ever tried speaking into life without having permission? Doesn't really work. But, and you think about it, you get frustrated, yeah? Think about God when he's telling us things and I know God, yeah? You don't know. Listen. And so when we say, yes, Lord, I set my life apart for you, then he has permission to work. Amen. And that, then, you know, he can do things. So why else do we do that? To enjoy, number four, to enjoy the riches of God's salvation. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. God's salvation is full of riches. It includes being saved from death to life. But God's salvation has much more for us. When we were saved, God blessed us with the spiritual blessings of Christ, the life of Christ. Christ's perfectly humanity and living, his effective death and his powerful resurrection, the victory over Satan, his ascending over all things, those things were for us. And then when we consecrate ourselves to him, we have this way of entering into the enjoyment of all these blessings. We have them. In fact, we have them, but for us to enjoy them on a daily basis, I think when you decide to say, you know what, I'm going to set myself apart for God's work, I believe that we can enjoy these things on a greater level. And in this respect, consecration is like a door that we can go into. And, you know, we're still saved, but when we enter into this part, wonderful, great things await us. I can tell you, since I said, you know, use me, Lord, I gave him permission, I get to enjoy just the salvation, the abundant life, the fellowship, on just so much a greater level. And although life may be hard and I get trials and I suffer here and there, no regrets. I have no regrets raising my hand and saying, Lord, you have my permission. Use me. Use me. And you know, the thing is, we can pray, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to enjoy this life. Here I am. I give myself fully to you. Lead me by your Spirit, and so that you can experience this joy. Now, if we're saved, we've taken that first step on our journey. We thank the Lord for that every day. But that's just the beginning. The next step, you know, is like, say yes, Lord. And then I want to tell you this. When you say that, be ready. Hang on. Because it is such a great adventure. We can set ourselves apart. You know, we can come to church. We can pray. We can raise our hands. But until you are ready to say, use me, I mean, sometimes we just are stuck in this same place. Whether you're newly saved or saved for a long time, you know, we need to give ourselves to the Lord fully. I mean, it's hard to do it all one time, but just do it a little bit at a time. Start off by saying, hey, I'll give you my Sunday mornings, Lord. No matter what, I'll give you my Sunday morning. And then you can start by giving him a couple days a week. I'll give you some couple mornings to do. And then I'll give you my place at work where I will live. I will live out what you have done for me. You don't even have to speak. Start off a little at a time and present yourselves to the Lord. Because, man, when you give God permission, He will not disappoint you. My God doesn't disappoint me. He never leaves me nor forsakes me, but He challenges me and He grows me because I said, yes, Lord. And that, my friends, is like the best thing. Other than saying yes to Jesus, because that's the best decision you can make. But then after that, if you are willing to say, I will set myself apart for your purposes, life and life abundantly happens. Amen? And that's the whole thing. So this coming season, man, if you would ask the Lord, use me to reach my family and my friends. How many of you have unsaved family and friends? How many of you work with unsaved? And if you think about how many people live on this island, I don't know, what is it, 100,000? I don't know if it's that much. And if you look at how many people are in churches on the weekend, it's not that much. And like the Bible says, the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. We are the laborers, and we get to go out and reach the harvest. And if you are willing to say, yes, Lord, then he will use you. Amen? Would you bow your heads? The worship team can come up. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. First of all, I'd like anybody here needs to ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. Would you hold up a hand? Anybody here? Anyone? Okay, we're all good. Anybody here would say, Lord, use me. Anybody here would ask the Lord to use me. Anybody would be bold enough to say that. Okay, you can put your hand down. Then if you raised your hand, pray with me. Heavenly Father, I raise my hand and I ask you to use me. I set myself apart. I give you permission to work in me, to use me for your purpose. Lord, take my life and use it for your good work. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Thank the Lord.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Chiroma of New Hope Christian Fellowship East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street, Kau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.